I want to talk this morning about intervention. Intervention. Luke, the 15th chapter, and beginning at verse number 1. Lucas, capitulo 15. All right. Y versículo 1 a donde? 1 a 10. Sí. All right. I'll be preaching in English. Don't panic. Okay. Amen. But for our brothers and sisters, they can follow along. Amen. Paul said, I became all things to all people so that I might win some. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to give you a little background about Luke. Luke wrote his gospel, and Luke was not a Jew. Luke was a Gentile. So when he wrote his gospel, he wrote his gospel from a non-Jewish perspective. All right? Luke was a Gentile, and he was a physician. He was a doctor, a medical doctor, and also he was a man that did research. He is also, the Bible records, he is also the author of the gospel that bears his name and also the book of Acts, which most call the historical of the New Testament. So he searched out about Jesus, and he believed the people who told him about Jesus. He was not an eyewitness, but he talked to some people. And because he talked to some people and did his research, he was able to pen this gospel along with the book of Acts. And so he was, if you will, a man of the people, because he, dealing with people in his profession, he came in contact with a lot of people. All right? So I want to look at the 15th chapter here. Luke is sharing with us something that was happening in the life and the ministry of Jesus. I have the Amplified Version of the Bible, and the 15th chapter begins in verse number 1. It says, now the tax collectors and notorious and especially wicked sinners were all coming near to Jesus to listen to him. That's very, very interesting. Tax collectors were hated in Jesus' day because they could manipulate the people, and they would pay for a certain area, as I understand, to collect taxes. And as long as they gave the government what the government wanted, they can take what they wanted for themselves. So they were a group of people who were very, very much hated. And the scripture says that the tax collectors, as well as the notorious and especially wicked sinners, were all coming near to Jesus to listen to him. So Jesus attracted some people that we would call some bad individuals, bad behaving individuals, people who were renowned for being notorious and not just wicked, but especially wicked. All right? And they were coming to Jesus to listen to his message. The verse in the second verse, it says, and the Pharisees and the scribes kept muttering and indignantly complaining, saying, this man accepts and welcomes preeminently sinners. Mike is going with Jesus' name. This man accepts and receives and welcomes preeminently wicked sinners and eats with them. So the religious people of Jesus' day had a problem with the people that Jesus was entertaining. They had a problem with the fact that Jesus was going to some cast-offs, that Jesus was going to some people that they didn't really like to associate with. All right? Give me a minute here for technical. So they didn't like the fact that Jesus was attracting wicked people. people that society shunned, and they looked down their nose at those type of people. So Jesus gave them a parable. Scripture goes on to say in verse number 4, what man of you, Jesus begins to a parable, and what man of you, if he had 100 sheep and should lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness, in the desert, and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? So Jesus is letting them know, look, I'm coming. Scripture says in one place, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And they that are whole, they don't need a physician. And Jesus said in another place, he said, I come not to call the righteous, but I come to call sinners to repentance. So in these first couple of verses of this chapter, we can see ourselves if we really are honest. We can see ourselves as notorious. Yes, that was some of our former state. And just in case you still might be notorious, and just in case you still might be wicked, and especially wicked, you're in the right place this morning, because Jesus is here, and Jesus wants an audience with those type of people. Jesus wants an audience with real people. Jesus wants an audience with people who won't fake. Jesus wants an audience with people who are the way that they are until they come in contact with Jesus. We have to understand that every last one of us were born in sin and shaping in iniquity. And since we were born in sin and shaping in iniquity, we can't help but operate in the way that we were born until we get born again. So we shouldn't be upset if a sinner acts like a sinner, because that's all he is, right? And actually, a sinner is not acting. There's more acting that takes place in church, because a sinner is just being real. Huh? A sinner is just a sinner, right? Right? And you can't expect a sinner to act like they saved when they're not saved. Acting, the church is no place for acting. Your home is really no place for acting. So if you have a child that's not saved, they're going to act just like you acted before you got saved. And they, yes, they're going to embarrass you at times, huh? But don't you make them into hypocrites even before they get saved. Huh? Well, what you do is you live your life before them, right? And you share God's love and you share God's word with them. And at their age of understanding, we're believing and we're praying with you that they're going to be saved, right? And then after they be saved, then they're going to live saved. So there's no acting at all, or there shouldn't be. Amen. But Jesus didn't mind hanging around or having the sinners come to him because he had what they needed. He had what they needed. And we should not mind for sinners to come around us.
That's right.
And Jesus didn't really call them sinners. He just let them be around him.
Right.
See, you don't have to tell an alcoholic that he's an alcoholic. They already know that. Huh? You don't have to tell a drug addict that they're a drug addict. They already know that. You don't have to tell a fornicator or an adulterer that they are what they are. They know that. What you could tell them is that there is a way out.
Amen.
So how can you tell them that there is a way out if you're never around them?
Right.
All right. So he starts this parable. He says, what man of you, if he has 100 sheep, should lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness, in the desert, and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? So Jesus, I'm glad that Jesus came looking for me.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I was lost. Jesus wasn't lost. I was. Verse number 5, he says, and when he has found it, he lays it on his own shoulder, rejoicing. And when he gets home, he summons together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep which was lost. I can see all of humanity, and I can see myself as the lost sheep. and I can see Jesus intervening on behalf of all humanity. I can see Jesus, and this intervention was a divine intervention. This was God manifested in the flesh. This was God arobing himself, if you will, in flesh and coming as a man, coming in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he came to redeem the whole of humanity. He made it possible for us to escape the wrath of God. And the scripture says in one place, all we like sheep have gone astray. That's in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And what I like about this parable and what it brought to my mind is the shepherd looking for the sheep. The shepherd looking for the sheep. The sheep had gotten far and far away. But when he found the sheep, he put the sheep on his shoulder. Now, I don't know too much about sheep. I looked online because I wanted to find out where the heart of a sheep is. But I imagined from what I looked at, if you put a sheep on your shoulder, you can feel the beat of the heart on your shoulder as you're carrying the sheep. All right. So I imagined this shepherd, imagine if you will, this shepherd going and searching for that one sheep, and the sheep being battered, and the sheep being disoriented, and the sheep being frightened, and the sheep being under the elements of the weather, whatever the weather conditions were, and the sheep being lost. You know, it's a sad situation in a uncomfortable feeling to be lost and not know where you're going. People make millions of dollars just to give people directions. You got GPSs on your phone. You got OnStar on your car, because we always want to know where we're going. We don't want to be lost, and we don't even want to look like we're lost. And some of us have the audacity to not even admit when we're lost. Look at the map. No, I don't want to look at the map. I know where I'm going. No, you don't. We've been past this gas station 3 times. But being lost is a very, very uncomfortable feeling, especially when it gets dark. When it gets dark, and imagine the sheep hearing the howling of other beasts that come out at night. Imagine the sheep hearing the rustling in the woods, if you will. There's bears in the woods, and then there's wolves, and there's coyotes, and then even in those days, there's lions that would come. And imagine you as a sheep, a defenseless sheep, and you hear this, and you don't know, and it's getting dark, and you can't see, and you don't know which direction to go, and you want to cry, but you can't cry too loud, because if you cry too loud, you'll give away your position. Imagine that, if you will, and then you hear a familiar voice. You hear the voice of your shepherd looking for you, calling you out by name. And this was our condition, I believe, when we were in the world. We were in the world, we was on the devil's territory, and we was being battered about, and we did everything that the devil told us to do, and we thought that we were big enough and bad enough to do, and we tried this, and we tried that, and we tried this, and some of us really didn't even know that we were lost, and some of us were lost for so long that it just didn't. We didn't even think that we could ever be found. We didn't even think that there was any hope for us. We thought that the life that we were existing in at that time was all that there was. But I'm so glad that Jesus came looking for me.
I'm so glad when my life was almost gone, when I couldn't even raise up a real strong cry, Jesus came looking for me. And it was the divine intervention of God that sent Jesus here on the earth so that we might receive salvation. And I like the fact that in this parable, the shepherd put the sheep on his shoulder. And now this lets me think of, okay, if the sheep is on his shoulder, then the sheep's head is looking that way. And you can feel, the shepherd can feel the heartbeat of the sheep. What God is trying to tell you, if you are that lost sheep in here this morning, God, I believe, is trying to tell you, he feels your heartbeat. He sees the things that's going on in your heart. He understands your environment, whether it's a physical environment, whether it's a mental environment, or whether it's a spiritual environment. God is concerned about everything that has to do with you, and that's why he came. And one of the things that I can picture in my mind is, as this sheep is on the shoulder of the shepherd, and the shepherd is leading him back home, the sheep can see all the places that got, that the shepherd is bringing him through and bringing him from. It's okay for those of us who've been saved, for those of us who's been found, it's okay to look back and see where God has brought us from. It's okay, because listen, I hear the Bible said in one place, no man can pluck you out of my hand. So God, we're still in the hands of God. But I'm so glad that every now and then I can look back over my life and see where Jesus has brought me from. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The Bible says in the fullness of time, God sent his son. Why did he send Jesus? He sent Jesus to rescue you. He sent Jesus to rescue you. He sent Jesus to rescue each and every one of us. And it was his act of divine intervention that pulled us out. Some of us was in some horrible situations. Some of us was in some dangerous situations. Some of us was in some situations where our life was almost snuffed out. But I'm so glad that God, in his grace and in his mercy, allowed Jesus to come and take me out of a horrible pit. Listen, I can stand here and declare to you this morning that whatever pit that you're in, it's not too hard, it's not too dirty, it's not too complicated, it's not too stinky, where the strong arm of the Lord, the strong arm of Jesus Christ, can reach down. Jesus don't mind getting his hands dirty. Listen, if some of y'all would have saw me when I was down there on Skid Row, y'all would have crossed the street. If some of y'all could have smelt me when I was down there, y'all would have backed up. But I'm so glad that Jesus, he don't mind getting his hands dirty. I'm so glad that Jesus, now I know that lamb, I know that sheep was smelly. I know that sheep was stinky. I know that sheep was frightened. But look at the good shepherd. He went down there. He left the 99. Listen, all y'all that can't get with the one, y'all might be in the 99. That's all right. But I praise God, because I was the one. I was the one that needed rescuing. I was the one that needed saving. And I'm so glad. I'm not ashamed to tell you that God lifted me out of the muck and the mire. God lifted me out of the filth and degradation of sin. And guess what? He's still doing that today. Yes, he is. God, he can change your life. Oh, yes, he can. God loves it. He loves it when he finds one of his, because it was in the eternal plan of God that you be saved. You hear what I said? It was in the eternal plan of God that your life be redeemed. God put this plan together before any human being was ever born. God designed this divine intervention plan because the Bible declares that that he is not willing that any should perish. God don't want you to die and your soul be eternally lost. The Bible says, you probably know this verse, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, listen, you can put your name in there in any language, English, Spanish, Chinese, Japanese, whatever, a whosoever is a whosoever. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him. All you got to do is put your faith and your confidence in Jesus Christ. That's all you have to do is believe what he has done. Put your confidence in what he has finished and secured for every last one of us on the cross of Calvary. But there's an additional thing that you have to do. Listen, those publicans, those sinners, those tax collectors, they knew they were sinners. Yes, they did. They knew they were sinners. Listen, and we have to recognize that before we're born again, we're sinners. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Listen, you were born that way. Yes, I hate to burst your bubble. Oh, no, I don't. I'm glad I can burst it because I can give you a new bubble. You were born that way, but you ain't got to stay that way. You hear what I said? You were born in sin, and you were shaping in iniquity. Not just you. All of us were, but when we hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, when we hear that Jesus saves, when we hear that Jesus delivers, when we hear that Jesus can set you free from any type of habit, listen, there is no sin that can overpower or overshadow the power and deliverance of Jesus Christ. But there's a condition that has to be met in order for us to receive this great salvation. And all you got to do is repent. Glory. Hallelujah. What do you mean repent? You got to first recognize that you're a sinner. You got to first recognize that you are an enemy of God. You were born that way. We were born that way. But that's okay, because the Bible declares that while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. God commendeth. That means he gave it to us up front. We couldn't do anything to earn the love of God. We couldn't do anything to earn the mercy of God. We couldn't do anything to earn the grace of God. And the grace of God is embodied. It is shown and shown forth in the person of Jesus Christ. So when you see Jesus, you're looking at the grace of God. You're looking at the truth of God. And this grace and this truth came down to earth for you and I, and allowed himself to be crucified so you don't have to die in your sins. That's some good news in 2016. Listen, more than a box of food, glory, hallelujah, more than a backpack. But listen, what you can get today is something that can take you from here to eternity. You can have everlasting life. You can have all your sins washed away. Glory, hallelujah. All the things that you did in your life, some of the stuff you might have done last night, if you repent, when you repent, change your heart, change your mind, change your direction, be sorry for your sins, acknowledge that God is God and we are not, and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and say, yes, God, I'm guilty of all charges. Yes, I'm guilty of this. Whatever you and God know what you're guilty of, but listen, you can cast off that guilt right here this morning. Yes, you can. You can repent, make up in your mind, just like you made up in your mind that you was coming here this morning. It didn't take a whole lot of convincing, because you saw something that would benefit you, but I got something that will benefit you from here to eternity. It's life, and it's life more abundantly, and that's found in Jesus Christ. God had to intervene for you because he know it's not within man to save ourselves. We couldn't save ourselves because our blood is polluted. We got sin in our DNA. But once you repent of your sins and get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the removal of your sins, God will fill you with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Then, my friend, then you're really born again. Then you got the power to resist sin. Listen, some of us who might have been on drugs. We needed an intervention. We were spending up our money. Some of us were sticking up people just to get our drug money. Yes, and people who loved us, they saw the condition that we were in, and we would tell them, I'm going to get it together. But we never had the power to get it together. And then someone who loved us enough to look past our immediate condition, somebody hopefully put together a plan. All right, we're going to invite him over to the house. And once he get to the house, then we're going to talk to him and we're going to do an intervention. Sometimes those interventions work and sometimes they don't. Sometimes we agree because there's some pressure put on us and we agree to go to the program. Listen, but you can go to the program and you can work the program. You can follow the rules of the program. But if your heart ain't changed, all you went through was a program. All you went through was a process. And then you get your certificate or whatever. Yeah. And then you stand up and take pictures. You invite mama and them, big mama and them, to, you know, to your graduation, and you say, okay, I finished the program. But then you go out. Then after you go out and some trouble come, what happened? Because it wasn't in your heart. All you wanted to do was get them off of your back. That's all you, because you tired of hearing her mouth or you tired of hearing his mouth. That intervention, it did not stick. But let me tell you, if you take advantage of this intervention and you get the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside, you got some sticking power then. You got some staying power then. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Listen, you need it, because the Bible lets us know that they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We ought to thank God in this wicked and perverse generation. You can look in the neighborhoods that you live in. You can look in the neighborhood that you go to school. You can look in the neighborhood where you work. Evil is all around. We got to walk. Listen, I remember back in the day, we used to can walk to school from our house, just the kids walking. But now you got to walk your babies to school because they might not make it from house to school because there's evil all around. So we got to take our kids in the car. We got to walk them. We got to meet them at the bus stop. And we got to give them cell phones with emergency numbers. All of this is because we're living in a wicked and perverse generation. But God took care of that a long time ago. He made it possible so that we can be in this world, but not of this world. He made it possible for us to have a force field, if you will, around us. And that force field is the force field of salvation. Listen, when you repent of your sins and get baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins, and God fills you with the Holy Ghost, you have activated the intervention that took place over 2,000 years ago, and then you are covered. You got what do you have? You have real insurance. You have eternal life insurance. Not saying that something bad won't happen to you physically, but because of the intervention, because that the reign of sin has been broken over our lives. Listen, we can walk through any neighborhood we want to walk through. We can go any place we want to go to, because the Bible said that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous, they run into it and they're safe. So once I accept this divine intervention that Jesus has so graciously given unto me, I repent and get baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm covered. If I drop dead the next second, guess where I'm going? I'm going to be with Jesus. What guarantee do you have? Listen, in the physical realm, you can relapse. Glory. Hallelujah. You can relapse. If you go to a program, you can relapse and get back out there. But I'm so glad that when you get the Holy Ghost, if you get the genuine bona fide Spirit of God, listen, you have the power then. You have the power to resist the devil. Listen, you have the power. Listen, I'm telling you what God can do. Yes, I was a drug addict. Yes, I was a crack addict. Yes, I was an alcoholic. But one day, Wednesday, June 19th, 1985, God intervened in my life personally, filled me with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Guess what? I ain't had to go to a 12-step program. Thank God for the programs, but all I had to do was take one step. It was a step of faith. I said, God, I want to be saved. And guess what God did? He saved me just like he said he would. God saved a whoremonger like me. God saved a dope head like me. God saved a homeless, no good rascal scoundrel like me, and filled me, glory, hallelujah, with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And guess what? I ain't relapsed. Glory, hallelujah. And it's not about me. It's about the power of God. So I glory that over 30 years, I ain't touched crack in over 30 years. And guess what? I ain't gonna touch it. I ain't sparked a blunt in over 30 years, and I ain't gonna spark no reefer, no marijuana. I ain't messing with it. You hear what I said? Because I got something that lasts longer than a blunt. Glory. Hallelujah. I got something that lasts longer than taking it to the head. Glory. Hallelujah. God filled me from the head to the toe with the Holy Ghost. It gets you drunk sometime, but you can still see clearly. Glory, hallelujah. With the Holy Ghost, you don't get no DUI. Glory, hallelujah. You could be in your car next to the police, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and he can't pull you over. I wish he would pull me over. I tell him, I'm drunk of the Holy Ghost. He might get saved. Listen, God said that we're light. He said a light. We're a city that sits on a hill. A city set on a hill, you can't hide it. Listen, God did this for a no good scoundrel like me. Sure, you all are better than I am. You all wasn't as bad as me. So if God can do it for me, can he do it for you? Yeah, he intervened for you. But you got to take advantage of it. You got to take advantage of it. All right. I got about 10 minutes. I want to be out of here by 11:30. That's my goal. Amen. But God did this for you. He did this for you because he loves you. God loves you. If you never hear that, if you never heard somebody tell you that they love you, I'm here to tell you that God loves you. God sees you. God understands you. You might be living in a circumstance where you think, nobody understands me. God understands you. God understands children. You hear what I said? He understands your challenges. Parents, God understands you. He understands what you got to go through to keep your family safe. But the real safety is in him. The real safety is in Jesus. The real safety is in him. God understands the struggles. You got to work 2 and 3 jobs. God understands all of that. He understands that. He understands all of our family dynamics. Single parent, God understands it. He understands it. He understands it. He understands it. But what's most important, he made a way for you to escape the wrath of God that is to come. He made a way so you can have life, and that more abundantly. Because let's just say for a moment, something happens here and you get wealth that you never imagined. I'm talking about money that you never imagined. And you get all your bills paid. And you can send your kids to the finest schools you want, public or private. You get them a full ride to college, right? You get the house of your dreams. And you live. You take vacations when you want to and when you don't want to. You can still take them. Now, that's having some money, huh? All right, I'm trying to paint a picture. Imagine you get all of that. And then at the end of your life, you got to stand before God. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Because your eternal soul was at stake, this prompted God into the intervention. Because your soul is at stake. So he intervened. He made it possible for your soul to live eternally with him in heaven. But you got to take advantage of the intervention. Don't let it be just something that, oh, well, he did it. Well, praise God, he did it. Take advantage of it. So if you're here today, and you never repented of your sins, you never had a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of direction, you want to give your life completely over to Jesus Christ, I'm inviting you to come forward now, if you're here. It don't take long to make a decision. If you're here this morning, I'm inviting you to come. God loves you. He understands everything that you're going through right now. He understands it. He understands it. That's why he intervened. He set this up before we got here. He made it possible so that we can escape. All right?